Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Basil Cosby, and today I'm joined by the one and only Justin Schmidt, who is the VP of Marketing at JobSync. Justin, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Mason.
How long have we known each other? It's been like five-ish years.
We've known each other on LinkedIn for quite some time, and we have recorded a podcast before. You had me on your last show to talk about stock options and making sure people take a good hard look at those when they sign their offer letters. For what it's worth, my opinion on the topic has not changed. If anything, I was probably proven pretty correct over the last few years, as a lot of startups have faced down rounds or, God forbid, reductions in force and the other things that cause disruption. But yeah, we've known each other virtually for quite some time, but have unfortunately not had the pleasure of meeting each other in person yet. So let's hope to change that soon.
Yeah, we'll fix that. I've got a couple events coming up, so I'll see if you see you around. But what I have always appreciated about you is you have typically been like solo, if not very small team marketer in early stage organizations that are serving very niche specific use cases where ABM is like a perfect fit. So I've always loved our conversations because like you've got very scrappy ABM programs just flowing in your veins. So I'm excited to dig into that today and talk through just some practical tips that you've got for people, especially at the time of this recording. There have just been some pretty dramatic shifts in the economy. Just a couple. I think you said it very poetically right before we started to record. It's been a shift in the market where scrappiness is becoming the right way to go. So I'm excited to dig into what you're seeing and some ways that you would make some recommendations on how to build a scrappy ABM program.
Yeah, pivot to scrappiness, I think is the phrase I used a minute ago. Oh, yeah. But it's absolutely the case, right? We are not in a world where you can say, hey, we spent a dollar to generate 75 cents in pipeline, right? That's just not the reality for almost everybody right now. And furthermore, outside of a few categories, you have to really grind for every dollar in pipeline you get. We can't all have the luxury of NVIDIA or whatever, where you just sort of open your door and money comes flying in. We got to really kind of buckle down and work for it. So scrappiness is the name of the game in 2025 and likely into the intermediate future as well.
I think this can be around for a second. So that said, I'm always curious for people, as they're thinking about building an ABM program, what is your first step to actually finding the audience that you want to target?
There's a wonderful phrase a friend of mine said to me once, which is the best way to optimize any marketing process or sales process for that matter is start with whatever it is that rings the cash register and work backwards. In our case, that could be contract gets signed, which means a proposal was sent, which means a good opportunity was created, which means a good demo was created, which means a good initial call was created, which means you had a good list to start with, which means you had a good idea of what your product does and who it does that for, right? So starting your ABM program, you need to look at what has already ring the cash register, which is obviously your customers, and work backwards from there. Take the biggest cohort that sticks out like the best sore thumb of all your customers and model that out to the lookalikes and similar companies beyond it.
I really love that framing of what's the big sore thumb customer that like you just have a ton of already. I've not thought of it that way. I typically think about it from what's the top 20% most profitable customers. I almost feel like people, when they do ABM targeting, they're trying to make it harder. And they're like, well, what if we don't have this audience that like we've never had success with? Well,
good luck.
You might. Yeah, like you might have success there. But you know, it's like more likely to have success if we went and got more of all of our current customers.
Correct. And sore thumb is a little bit of a weird phrase to use, but you get my point, right? It's
yeah.
What is the most obvious, sticks out, holy cow, we deliver an obscene amount of value for these people. And these are the firmographic and demographic and technographic profiles of these customers. Let's just expand cautiously from there.
I love it. Then the question is, once you actually identified, okay, these are the kinds of customers we actually want to go after, how are you typically going about actually getting people bought in and saying, oh yeah, let's go get more of these?
I think it's a fairly straightforward use case when you're building the stakeholder team, if you will, to say our best bets are going to be the ones closest to the bets we've already won. Here's the problem we solved for these customers. We've got the product ready to go to solve that again. We just changed the inputs a little. In a lot of instances, you'll find that these customers, you'll find that these customers have similar industries. Maybe you'll even notice they're all in the same geographic area. Maybe they're all part of the same professional membership group. And then you've got this really great story to tell of, hey, with this tech stack in this industry, in this region, of all these companies that are part of, I'm going to make this up, the Small Business Association of the Pacific Northwest, we can build an extremely targeted program to get in front of these people, to get warm intros in front of these people, and not have to think too hard about the use case and the storytelling to get them to pick up the phone, right? There's a wonderful book, not related to ABM at all, but I think, as with all things marketing, you take a lot of really good inspiration from slightly orthogonal sources. Famous old book in web design and UX called Don't Make Me Think by Stephen Krug. And the premise of the book is exactly what the title is. Users will transact and interact with your website, with your app, if you don't make them think too hard. And building stakeholders internally is the exact same way, right? Let's just do the obvious stuff and you tend to get pretty good buy-in. Sales loves it because they like repeatable processes. Marketing loves it because you can reuse a lot of the stuff you've already done, just maybe update it a little bit. And most importantly, your CFO is going to love it because you can pitch a reasonably high ROI project to them versus, hey, I want to sponsor a hot air balloon or whatever crazy idea you might have at the time. Although that would maybe yeah. You could work that into a scrappy ABM project too.
If anybody can do that, please send me the photo. Sounds amazing. But no, I mean, especially we're talking about like budgets are getting tighter. If you yes. go to your CFO as the starting point and saying, hey, I want to find more of our best customer. Can you really identify what the best customer is? Feels like a much easier sale. And how often is the CMO and the CFO going to the executive leadership team pitching a program together? It's pretty rare. So I love that as a starting point for actually getting buy-in on the program. Once you've gotten that buy-in, I'm always curious, how do you actually think about identifying the right channel or tactic mix to engage the specific audience?
I am skeptical of a lot of the traditional big digital approaches to ABM, unless you are in a very well-defined product market fit scenario. As much as I would love to go out and do some big programmatic buy where I'm rendering custom landing pages on the fly and all this stuff, at the scale most of the folks who are listening operate at, I think there's just much easier fruit to pick from the tree. So one thing I really like to do is warm introductions, and if you can make it targeted, small in-person events, I think are fantastic channels to get scrappy. Now you might say, Justin, you're just describing really good sales outreach or really good sales practices, to which I would say, correct. But marketing and sales are the same thing. We work together, and all the content, all the follow-up, all the preparation for an event, if you're going to go down that road, that's all the kind of thing marketing and sales can work together with, right? And the mutual connections piece for warm intros there's some really cool ways to get very hacky and dorky on how to extract some of that stuff, which I've been playing with recently that I'd be more than willing to chat about. But those are the places to start for sure. For me anyway.
Well, I would love to hear how you've actually gone the approach of mapping target accounts to warm relationships to get those introductions.
Okay. We have all received a LinkedIn message that says, "Hey, Mason, I see you're connected with Justin. I would love it if you could intro me to Justin." You kind of roll your eyes. All right. You clearly just grabbed the first mutual connection off of my profile or whatever it is. If I say yes to this, is this person going to send me 15 more of these messages? Right. However, if you can extract all of the mutual connections from all of your target personas, your target LinkedIn profiles, let's call them target profiles for the sake of this example, you can then just run an analysis and see, oh, Mason's not just connected to Justin. He's connected to 17 other people. Let me whittle that down to the top 10 that are most important to me. Then you email Mason and say, "Hey, Mason, we're running a happy hour and discussion about the future of work in Austin, Texas. I noticed you are connected to these 10 people. Are any of these folks close enough that you would send an email introduction for me?" I get email like that. I'm like, you know what? I can quickly scan it. Everything's laid out in front of me. It's all one tight ask. Happy to help. The challenge is getting all of those mutual connections. So in my experience, there are three ways to do this. One is you just go through clicking on mutual connections, clicking on next, copy pasting. No one wants to do that. And then the second way is a good browser extension scrape. And then the third way would be one of the cloud apparatuses to do this. On the cloud side, if you're up for a little bit of technical work, Appify has a store of what they call actors. They're basically scraping agents that you can do on the cloud in headless browsers to go then and loop through a list of URLs, grab all of the connections, dump them into a Excel file or a JSON output or something. The issue with the cloud providers, in my view, and this is the same with even Dripify and Expandy and all those places, they virtualize you logging in into their cloud server, teach their own on the risk level they're willing to accept with their LinkedIn profile on that. But on the Chrome extension side, there's a really great tool out there called Bardeen. I think it's bardeen.ai, 80 bucks a month, but you can knock it out in the free trial if you're efficient. But you can effectively do what I just described on your local machine and just write those to an Excel file or Google Sheets. And it's fascinating when you do that because most people don't go beyond like the first page of mutual connections. And LinkedIn, in their infinite wisdom, doesn't order mutual connections in any sort of way that makes sense. So I found it's best to pull all of them, sort then by the most shared connections of the shared connection, and then start doing your pivots. And that's when you see you might have, for a given prospect, 10 people that know that person. And then you just divide them all up and send out the email. That's a really kind of hacky way to do this, but I find it's extremely more effective, infinitely more effective, to present the person you want to make the intro from with a menu of people all at once versus, "Hey, Mason, I see you're connected to Justin."
I love that. And when I was, this was past organization when I was selling sales education to CROs, our CRO actually went through the effort. He found 20 champions that had consistently given us a 10 on the NPS and were other CROs that were in the space, and just actually got permission on the front end. It was like, "Hey, are you cool if I ask you on a quarterly basis for a referral? And in exchange, I'm just going to give you our stuff for free. Is that cool?" And they're like, that sounds awesome. So we actually did a similar thing. And what ended up happening, we used Fiverr and got somebody overseas to just build the list. But as we essentially just had target account lists matched up against people we wanted introductions to with who had mutual connections. And then we would actually just serve up on a query basis, like 3 to 5, and just say, "Hey, do you know these 3 to 5 well enough that you would either make a direct introduction just to sell the thing, or we've got these upcoming dinners. Would you be open to inviting them to a dinner?" or would you be open to inviting them to, we did a twice a year conference. So it's just like, that's exactly, it.
Yes. One sort of exclamation point to put on this. You really want to do this with folks that you have a email relationship with, right? That you're not just crowding people's LinkedIn message with, you know, 30 names worth of information in one LinkedIn message. It's hard enough to respond to the messages from people you know in that platform, right?
Yeah, I used to be weird about this, quite frankly, but now that I am sitting in the role that I am, I now have cell numbers for most of our clients at this point, or most like really, really close industry friendlies. I actually think less email and I'm more text. I'm like, hey, if I can text this person, that is the kind of relationship where I know they're not going to be weird by me just going in for the kill and saying, hey, look, I need 3 referrals this quarter. Can you just help me out?
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh yeah, that sounds, and you can make some kind of a make, but at a certain point, specifically if you're going back to customers or like really close industry professionals, like there's a shared mutual respect, clear you've done value for the customer.
Yes.
They stuck around for a while. And again, cannot get over the fact that the NPS score, the question is, would you recommend us? Like it is literally, would you give us a referral on a scale of 1 to 10? And we have a lot of people that put 9 and 10, and then we never ask them for a referral. So like huge mess on that.
Massive mess. Yeah, that's a great point. At scale, even not at scale, you only need a few well-connected people to really open up your vectors of entry into your target account list. Related to this, and we talked a little bit about this in the email back and forth leading up to today, but for this same reason, I'm a big believer in really good professional communities as well. I want to be careful here to define this because you have to have some sort of investment into these communities to get something out of them, right?
Yeah.
You can't just call up the local SHRM chapter or something if you're selling into HR tech and expect them to help you out. Like you got to put in, what's Josh Braun say? You got to make plenty of deposits before you make the withdrawal there.
Yep.
But there's something really powerful about a better together approach in a lot of this stuff where you can leverage some of the brand trust, some of the open doors, some of the relationships with something like a local chapter of some sort of organization where people pay in their dues and you're participating as a part of that to then co-host a dinner or a happy hour or a workshop or something. That is a infinitely better way to get into these people's inboxes than cold. Yeah. And you got help on the content. They can maybe bring a speaker in if you want to do that. If they know the area really well, maybe you set up something where you have like a standing every other Friday meetup or something. I don't know. The ideas are endless, but getting out of the headspace where, oh, ABM means hyper-personalization and some sort of Rube Goldberg machine of a Clay table to then direct people to that hyper-personalization. No shout against Clay. Great, great company. But you know what I mean, right? Where people sort of over-engineer what they need to do. The end of the day, let's just get decision makers together in a room and let's leverage whoever it is I already know or could have a relationship with to make that happen.
This, I don't know if you knew this. This is actually where the name Scrappy ABM came from. Is Jim Gilkey, who's actually now our account executive, talked about the idea that like your first ABM program, if you have no budget, should be focused on creating moments of serendipity.
Ooh, I like that.
And I was like, that's really good. The goal is, from my perspective, at least with ABM, to just kind of keep showing up where my target accounts live to a point where they're like, oh yeah, I want to build an ABM program. So obviously I'm going to go to Scrappy. And as you're talking through these referrals, these events, these dinners, it just feels like exactly that, which is if I consistently get our right fit buyers in the room, talking to one another with some of our customers and getting the trust of our customers or champions to share that with our right fit buyers. I don't know when exactly, but when the serendipitous moment occurs, they will buy from us.
100%. And I'm going to tell you a story that changed my entire worldview on ABM. This happened, about 5.5 years ago. I was at capacity called Jane.ai at the time. We were just getting ready to close our Series B, rebrand a capacity. And I was hiring up my team. And I interviewed someone who was a former Boeing marketing person. So here in St. Louis, Boeing has traditionally been a pretty big employer here. They've got thousands and thousands of employees in the St. Louis area. And this gentleman, I went to high school with him. And I was like, okay, I want to talk to him. We didn't end up working together for a variety of reasons, but he told me a story that has always stuck with me. And this is like ABM at the level of which only a few companies could ever hope to operate. They're selling one of their military products to the Canadian Air Force. Now, the average order value of something like that is an entire company's life in revenue dollars, right?
Yep.
F-18s aren't cheap. And what they would do would, over the course of however many years the contract cycle is, they would sponsor the league where the general's kids played hockey. They would buy advertising in the neighborhood magazines that the general's wife would serve on the board of some local organization that also worked with this local magazine. They would understand within however many miles of this general's house where him and his family went and just make sure there would be a manufactured moment of serendipity between them and their target account, right? And that's when it dawned on me that there are levels to this. I am not in a position to sponsor a little league hockey team over the course of 3 years to hopefully eventually win a however many billion dollar contract. But if you take that from a first principle perspective and do exactly what you just said, manufacture these moments of serendipity, then yes, I'm going to contact the local chapter or regional chapter of whatever it is. And I'm going to try to work out a program where I'm in front of these people with their help over the course of a few months. And we'll see what we can do.
Justin, I just love the simple framing of the practical example of just how do we make sure we're showing up everywhere that our target accounts are, creating these moments of serendipity, and then obviously taking it from a first principles approach, which is I may not be able to do the Little League hockey team, but one of the things that we actually do, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but I actually have someone that has ghostwritten for me, but not my LinkedIn content. They actually go on LinkedIn and they comment on our target accounts for 3 hours a day. I have somebody that's like creating those moments of serendipity just to ensure that for our target accounts, they see us almost every day on their own content, which in turn makes them more warm so that whenever I want to invite them onto the podcast, build a one-to-one relationship, they're more open to it. So doesn't have to be crazy. For context, in case you're wondering how much that costs, it's like $1,000 a month. So it's like a very worthwhile investment for us. Screening those moments of serendipity, being a little bit scrappy, and then being resourceful to just say, hey, I have all these great relationships. Why don't I leverage some of these relationships to get more introductions, to get more customers, so that everybody wins. So Justin, I love it. If people are interested in finding out more about you, where would you point them?
I would point them to LinkedIn, Justin Allen Schmidt, or just Justin Schmidt. I'd be the bald white guy profile pic. Then jobsync.com for all things hiring operations.
I love it. Well, again, Justin, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we will see you in the next one.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.